Acts chapter 1. We'll read the first 11 verses. All right. Acts chapter 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Pray you just be with me as I speak your word, and I've done my best just to prepare a lesson on what you've guided me and led me to do, and pray that you just help me to say what you'd have me to say this morning. I pray for all who hear the preaching of your word that they would be encouraged, and whether we learn something new or maybe are just reminded of something we needed to be refreshed on, pray that you would just speak to hearts today. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to talk about some things that I'd be willing to say that most everyone here has maybe heard these lessons before or heard preaching on these chapters before, myself included. But this, I feel, is where the Lord directed me this morning, and it's just some lessons that really I think we should be reminded of constantly and regularly. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the work of the Holy Spirit this morning, the work of the Holy Spirit. And so as we see in the verses we just read, there was a promise that the Holy Spirit would come. And if I had the time, I could go back to the Gospels where he talked about in John 14, where Jesus said the Comforter shall come and I will send the Comforter unto you. And that had to do with this promise of the coming Holy Spirit. And because at this point, the Holy Spirit was at work in the earth, in the hearts of men. But up until this point, it was not a permanent indwelling among all believers up until this point. And so this is the first time that this would happen. And when people put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he would come to indwell in the hearts of men. And he had told the disciples to wait, that the promise would come. And I think, and I'm trying to just picture myself if I were in their shoes, if I was one of the disciples and Jesus told me to wait, okay, what am I waiting for? Wait until the promise comes. What exactly does that mean? What does that entail? And I would imagine that they didn't maybe fully understand what was going to happen. They didn't fully comprehend what was coming. Maybe they didn't. I should give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they did understand a little bit more than I give them credit for, but I'm just picturing me and just the knowledge that they had. They didn't have the full scriptures as we have today to compare scripture with scripture and see how it all ties together. And they, of course, they did have some scripture, obviously. But maybe they just didn't know what it would fully entail. I don't know. But I would say at the very least, they had no idea how their lives were about to change and what God was going to do in and through their lives. And as we read in verse 5, where it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And I won't say too long on that, but I've heard some different views of what that means, right? And it's kind of a deep study if you get into it, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's my understanding as I've studied scripture and comparing scripture with scripture, and I'm no expert, but the way I understand it is that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is when the Holy Ghost comes to an individual believer for the first time and indwells them. And I believe it happens not just for the apostles and the disciples of their day, but it continues to happen for individuals today as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And some would even say that the baptism of the Holy Ghost has to do with the overfilling and the overflowing of the Holy Spirit in and through your life and flowing in and working as you minister to others. And I don't think that's a wrong view. I've heard a view that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it was just an event that happened for the disciples in their day, because that's what they needed, and it's no longer available for us. I don't think that's true. But we'll move on from there. But I do believe it is something that is available and accessible for the Christian today, because just logically, if the apostles needed the Holy Ghost to start the church, then we need the Holy Ghost to continue the church. We cannot do it without him. We cannot do God's work without the working, the filling, the leading, however you want to word it, of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And I think there's also great significance to Jesus' command to wait for it. Jesus told them, "Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Because we could go back to the Gospels. I think it's the book of Luke where Jesus tells them the wait for the promise. It is coming. And so then they wait, because they could not move forward. And this is the lesson that I think we can apply to our hearts today, our lives today. They could not move forward. They could not perform any acts, they could not preach, they could not do anything, any ministry, until the Holy Spirit came. They had to wait. And as saved people, we have been saved, so the Holy Spirit has come individually to each and one of our hearts. So we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit in the same sense that they are. They were literally waiting for the Holy Spirit to come in and indwell them. That has happened for us, for each individual when we accept Christ. But for us, when it comes to the ministry, whether it's preaching in a pulpit or serving in a ministry, in a Sunday school class, in a bus ministry, in prayer, whatever it may be, it's important for us to not move forward until we are sure that we are filled and led by the Holy Spirit. But it's important that while we wait, we don't just sit around and wait and say, "Well, God's going to move one of these days, and I'll just keep sitting here on my couch waiting and seeing what he's going to do." No, see, when the disciples waited, they weren't just waiting around doing nothing. Verse 14 of this Acts chapter 1 says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." So while they waited, they prayed. They prayed, they waited in prayer and supplication. They prayed for the promise to come. They prayed to be united. They prayed for God to do his work. And also, if you look down through the rest of the chapter, they went about the business of choosing the next disciple. Judas had already fallen at this point. He was gone. He was out of the picture. They needed somebody to replace him. And so if you read through the rest of Acts chapter 1, they went through the process of finding who would be the next apostle or next disciple. And so they weren't waiting around just haphazardly, just twiddling their thumbs, just saying, well, whatever happens, happens. No, they were busy. They were attentive. They were waiting and looking for what God was going to do. And that's another lesson we can learn is, as we're waiting for God to move, whether in a specific situation, whether it's something we, whether it's a specific trial or a specific situation we need God to work in while we're waiting, not just, well, I'm going to go do my own thing and just wait for him to do what he wants to do. God wants us to be active in prayer and doing what we know is the general will of God while we're waiting on the specific will of God. And even if you look at the example of Jesus Christ himself, before he started his earthly ministry, even he waited on the Holy Spirit. If you look at, and I know that's kind of hard to wrap our little human minds around, you know, how was God waiting for himself because he was God? But that's just the way it worked. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. And if you look at in the Gospels, when Jesus was baptized of John the Baptist in the River Jordan, right? And of course, John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. You should baptize me. And he said, no, this is the way it's going to be. John, you're going to baptize me. And it says when he went down in the water and he came up, that said that the Holy Spirit was present in the form of a dove. They heard a voice from God the Father in heaven that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then after that, Jesus was driven into the wilderness for 40 days of prayer and fasting. Wow. 40 days. After, towards the end of this 40 days of prayer and fasting, the devil came to him to tempt him, try to get him to fall, as if that was possible. And of course, we know how Jesus defeated Satan in that temptation using scripture. Of course, the devil tries to use the scripture out of context and says, well, you know, the Bible says this, Jesus, well, it also says this, you know, man shall not live by bread alone and things like that. So Jesus came through that temptation. Where did he go from there? Jesus went to the synagogue and he stood up in the synagogue full of all of the religious leaders of the day, walked up to the podium or whatever it was and opened up the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 61 that says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And that's just verse 1. And when he read that, when Jesus read that scripture, this has always fascinated me, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. So what he just did was his first, really, after the baptism, his first public proclamation that he was the Messiah, that he was the Jesus Christ. He was the fulfilled prophecy. But remember, it was not till after the 40 days of prayer and fasting that the Spirit led him to begin his ministry. And fill him to do his ministry. And again, it might be a little hard to understand why did God have to wait for God, right? But it's all in God's plan and all in God's timing. And for our example, to show us that we cannot do it. We may know the calling that God has for our life. We may know the ministry that we have, whatever God is leading. We may know where God is sending us, how he wants us to be involved. But we cannot move forward until we have clear direction and clear filling of the Spirit of God. We must pray and wait for the filling and direction of the Holy Spirit of God. And when he does come, when the Holy Spirit does come, he comes in power. And that's what leads us to our next point. After the first point, the first one was, if I didn't say it, entirely, the promise of the Spirit. The first one is the promise of the Spirit. The second is the power of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I dare say that maybe, and I'm speaking for myself and a lot of Christians, maybe we don't fully understand the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to us that we have access to. We have not even begun to tap in to the full power of the Holy Spirit that God has available for us. And as we just read in Isaiah 61, where it says Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring liberty to the captives, the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. That's what we are called to do in the same way, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring liberty to the spiritually captive, to open up the spiritual prisons of the bound. But we cannot do it without the filling, the empowerment, if you want to call it the baptism, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if you think of, many of you probably know of the famous preacher Billy Sunday, right? From the early 1900s. And Billy Sunday, from what I've heard, and of course he was a very powerful preacher, saw many people saved over the course of his life, and very exciting and very energetic preacher. And he, from what I understand, is that every sermon he preached, to remind himself, he opened his Bible to Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. And I might have misquoted that, I'm sorry. But he opened his Bible, every single sermon had his notes that he had written for his sermon on top of the Bible, but had his Bible open to Isaiah 61, every sermon that he preached. All of the work that we are called to do, in whatever ministry that may be, and I do believe God has a ministry for each and every individual Christian. Amen. And you know, and I, just speaking from experience, over the course of my life, you know, it was kind of easy for me to, and I don't know if anybody else here is the same way, but I would look at, you know, men who I looked at as great men of the faith, who were great preachers and had long years of experience, and whether it was a missionary or an evangelist or whoever it was, and I would fall into the trap of comparing myself and just thinking, wow, I can never be like that, I can never do that, or wow, how do I get there? How do I get to that point, right? But you know, really, we all have a calling. We all have a ministry that God has for us, and it may just be something small, but it's something that God has for you to do. And I think the important thing is that instead of comparing ourselves, well, I don't have the ministry that he has, I don't have the abilities or the gifts that he has, well, let's just focus on what we do have. Let's focus on what God has given us and the abilities he's given us and the calling that he's given us to do, and just be filled with him and serve him faithfully in that. But no matter what it is, the binding up the brokenhearted, the opening up of prison doors for the captive, that is the work that is the Spirit of God that does that work in and through our lives. As we preach, and we do, it's very important that we do our very best to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God and allow his words to flow through and convict hearts. When he came to the disciples, it was God that did the work, and he displayed his power as we, let's look at verse chapter 2 right across the page. You may have to turn the page, Acts chapter 2. God put his power on display when the Holy Spirit came. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, These men are full of new wine. So, of course, there's going to be some that are amazed. There's going to be some that mock, right? That's the way it's going to be. But it was God that put his power on display when the Holy Spirit came. First, they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is likened unto the wind. You can't necessarily see it, but you see its effects. You see how the wind blows. You see how the trees, the grass move. You see the effects of the Holy Spirit, although you cannot see the Spirit himself. And they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then it says there were cloven tongues like as of fire that rested above each one of them. And down in, if you look, flip the page, still in chapter 2, verse number 41, it says, Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And this we'll get to in a few minutes. We'll go back to Peter's message that he preaches here. But it says in verse 41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. If you ask me, that is a visible display of the power of God. That is an act that only God can do. As Peter preached, it wasn't Peter that saved the 3,000 souls. We understand that. It was the Holy Spirit of God that moved and did the work and put his power on display. Verse number 43, two verses down, it says, And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So at this time, when the Holy Spirit came and indwelled every believer, again, they did not have the full scriptures yet. And 1 Corinthians 13 talks about that, where it says, when that which is perfect is come, the Bible, and that which is in part, the sign gifts will be done away, whether it be tongues and things like that, they shall be done away with. And that's why we don't have those things today. But God gave those things at that time as a sign that the Holy Spirit had come. And it was the Spirit of God that did that work. And it was also through the Holy Spirit that Peter preached that day. We'll back up a little bit in the scriptures, and it brings us to our third point. The preaching of the Spirit. First, the promise of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and now the preaching of the Spirit. When Peter preached, he listened to the Spirit. You say, how do you know? How do you know that he spoke what God told him to speak? Well, I mean, I think it's pretty evident that, as we just talked about, they waited, they prayed, they were in tune with God, they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. But I believe that when Peter got up, and we'll begin in verse number 14, when men are confused about what is going on with the tongues, and everybody hears in their own language, and they were all amazed. In verse 12, it said, and were in doubt. Some, or they saying one to another, what meaneth this? 13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So Peter gets up, and he preaches a sermon, and I don't believe he had a pre-written sermon that he had been studying for days on end and making notes and adding, comparing, putting this scripture with this scripture and building a sermon like we do today. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that and shouldn't take the time to build a sermon, but it's important that even as we do build our sermons, we're seeking God for what he has for us to say. And I, just speaking from a personal experience, I've had times where I was seeking God, what to preach, seeking his will, his word. And there were times when he gave me an ample amount of things to write and scripture to share, and had, you know, pages upon pages of things to share. And other times, and I say this humbly, I've learned what it is to preach. I've learned what it is to preach led by the Spirit of God. And like any preacher out there will tell you, I also have the experience of preaching not led by the Spirit of God when it is just me. And after I get all said and done, I know that was me. That was not the Lord. We're all just men. We're all just human. But that's why we do our very best to follow the Spirit's leading and speak what he has given us to say. And I've had times, and there's one time that just it's sticking in my mind in particular, where I was praying about what to preach, and God gave me about a half a page of notes to preach a 40-minute sermon from, and God said, that's it. That's all you're getting. And I was still just praying and praying, and what else should I say? But God said, that's all you're getting right now. The rest I'll give it to you when you get up there and preach. And it's an awesome thing. And I don't take it lightly. I don't take that for granted. But again, the goal is to just speak what God tells us to speak. And so as Peter gave him this sermon, or as Peter preached this sermon, he got up, filled with the Holy Ghost. And in verse number 14, we'll read 14 down through 21. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show them wonders in the heaven, in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the first thing, as we just read these verses, that we see about the preaching of the whole, or the preaching of the Spirit, is that the Spirit led Peter to Scripture. The Spirit gave him what to say, and he directed him to Scripture. And he says, this is what was prophesied in the book, the prophet Joel. The Spirit of the Lord would come and would be poured out upon all men. And so this is something, and maybe that Scripture had come to Peter ahead of time, I don't know, but I do believe it was led of the Holy Spirit, and I believe it was in that moment that the Holy Spirit directed him and brought it to his mind and gave him the Scripture to preach on. And the next thing, we'll go quick because I think his time is fleeting, but we see in verse 22 through 36, we'll read that real quick, verse 22 through 36, he continues, he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And I'm always amazed at the boldness of Peter. He's calling them out for directly killing Jesus Christ. But even it says it was by the foreknowledge of God. It was God's plan. But by wicked hands they have crucified and slain. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David, and again, he's going to scripture, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, and Peter goes on, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ, to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Wow. Again, the boldness of the Apostle Peter. And what does that boldness come from? The power of the Holy Spirit in and through his life. So as we see, not only did the Spirit lead him to Scripture, the Spirit also exalted Jesus Christ. And I know in churches today around the world and around the country, you know, there's many false views of the Holy Spirit and what he will do and through individuals. But always remember that the Holy Spirit will also always exalt Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something or lead you down a path that is outside of Scripture, that is outside of the teachings of the Bible, that is outside of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The Spirit will always exalt Jesus Christ. And lastly, as we read in verse 37 through 39, a couple more verses, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. It's not for, Peter understood, the promise of the Holy Spirit is not just for a select few. It's not just for those who are going to minister. It's for every individual believer. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So lastly, the Spirit convicted the hearts of men. In the preaching in the Spirit led him to Scripture, the Spirit exalted Jesus Christ, and the Spirit convicted the hearts of men. So when we do, and this is the wrap-up, the lesson, of course, there's so many. I wish we could take the time to go through each individual verse of these chapters. There are probably a couple of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, and just all of the lessons we could learn, and if we really dissected each and every one and learned from them. But the takeaway is this. When we do God's work, God's way, by waiting on the Spirit, praying for the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, preaching in the Spirit, people will be saved and lives will be changed. Hope that was an encouragement to you this morning. Just a few lessons on the Holy Spirit of God, and I wish we could take that even further, but time has gone by. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity to just share the thoughts that you put in my heart and just the lessons from Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that is still alive and well, still is active in our hearts and can enable us to do things that are beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension. You enable us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we seek you through your word, Lord, help us to just be faithful to whatever it is you called us to do, big or small, whatever the ministry. It may just be, for some, the ministry of prayer. Lord, help us just to be faithful and to do everything that you call us to do in and through your Spirit. Lord, we love you and we thank you for being so good. In Jesus' name we pray.